As we go into the Word of God today, we're going to have the opportunity to deal with subjects that people normally don't deal with. However, when we think about it, imagine, if you will, if you live by the Florida Everglades. You know what the Everglades are? The Everglades are places where the marsh and all different kind of animals live there, and things that can go creep in the night, and alligators that can bite. Take a man and spin him over and over and over till it drowns him, and then start eating the carcass. Imagine, if you will, if you live there and you never talk to your kids about the alligators. They go out there on the little raft, or they go out there in the boat, and the alligators all around, and you say nothing about it. Sometimes they may even come up in your yard, and the kids say, "Nice kitty, nice kitty." And you never warn your child about these alligators. Well, what's the odds that if your kids are continually out there in the marsh where alligators are, that one day your child will be killed, eaten by the alligators? Not only the child, but if you're out there not cautious, that the same thing can happen to you. Naomi, do you think that if a alligator saw a 6-year-old girl, are you 7 yet? A 7-year-old girl. Well, let's use 6 since it won't be you this time. If the alligator saw a 6-year-old girl out there, and she was out there playing and said, "Nice kitty," and went to pat it on the head, that the alligator would let it or would kill the child?
I think it would attack and try
to kill the child. Well, and seeing that we know that there's a potential danger there that you don't have to be bothered with, but if you live on the Everglades, you know explicitly that your children would have to be warned of different dangers. Alligators, different snakes, etc. Maybe even different mosquitoes you'd have to put repellent on. However, when it comes to sex, there's this alligator that's always around. And they teach your children on television that this alligator is not deadly. He's friendly. He's a nice kitty. He's a kitty that can't even scratch. And the adults act like it can't scratch. When we see adults walking around with half an arm, with a peg leg or a prosthetic on, and it seems as if in this world we are doomed to be out there with the alligators, thinking that the alligators are friendly and kind when they are not. But that's not the only alligator that's out there today. There's another alligator that we don't really realize. This alligator is much worse than the alligator that I just spoke about, the sexual alligator. You probably remember that, the sexual alligator. I'm trying to give you something to draw this picture in your mind. There is the one that's called idolatry. God calls that spiritual adultery. No doubt I don't think any of you would ever go and bow down and worship another god. I don't think any of you would go and take your child, slaughter it, and present it as a sacrifice to another god. But understand that all idolatry is this: another form of trying to worship God other than what He's prescribed. In other words, if God says don't under no circumstances, then you say, well, it's okay under this circumstance. If God say don't worship this way, and you say, well, we can worship this way at this time. If God say these are the restrictions, and that I only have one mediator, one person that can come to me in your behalf, and that's Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. But you say, wait a minute, my pastor, my bishop, the Buddha, Muhammad, my education, my good deeds. Oh, I fed the hungry. I support supported Hosea Feed the Hungry. I supported the Red Cross. If you feel that that can mediate between you and God and not live according to His holy standards, that's an alligator. Even if you feel that God has no standards anymore because I have confessed the Lord Jesus, now I can live like I want to in this Everglade, I'm safe. I submit to you that that's an alligator as well. Today, we're going to talk about those things that will cause us to be destroyed by God. Look at the subject. The family must avoid idolatry and all unlawful, pleasurable sex because God said so. Tim, why would you put pleasurable? I would submit to you that those that follow idolatry find it to be pleasurable. Usually, when a person does idolatry, when they alter God's standard, they do it because it's an easier way for them to please and feel good about themselves. Whether it's one that's aesthetic, what do you mean aesthetic? Beautiful to look at. One that's aesthetic, one that you can't do things. For instance, not get married, not do this, do penance. But if it makes you feel good, if that's the kind of mindset you have, it's still idolatry. If it's one that's pretty, you feel that everything is positive, pretty in that sense. Positive, I don't allow negativity in my life. Well, you get to define the negativity and you don't allow it in your life because in this world, God allows death as well as life. So if you want to call one negativity, God does a lot of correction. If you feel when someone corrects you when you're wrong, that's negative. God allows that. That idolatry may feel good. It may make you feel happy and good about yourself. And Lord knows when you get to unlawful sex, which we're going to talk about today, we're not talking about any of this being something that people will not enjoy. As a matter of fact, the reason that I brought it up like this is the alligator, because the way that this passage has it set together, this is what they would do in their idolatrous practices. They would get involved in sexual activities. Do you follow me? Now, we were in chapter 17, and in chapter 17, which comes before chapter 18, before the chapter and verse division was given, we talked about three different types of quadrupeds. Quadrupeds, 4 feet. 4 feet cattle. The goat, the ox, or that kind of cattle, and the sheep. And God had given them a prescription or a prohibition. Do not, well, as long as you're in the wilderness, kill one of these animals to eat it unless you bring it to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We discussed on Thursday that one of the reasons for this is because the people could get caught up in idolatry. Because heretofore, they have been allowed to worship like Abraham did. Offer a sacrifice here, offer a sacrifice here, offer a sacrifice here. God is regimenting what He's doing. God allowed during the particular time of Abraham and before Abraham, people to worship Him because they had a limited sense of what God wanted. I've said this before, that this is the childlike stage for mankind. We're talking about for us now, we're supposed to be adults, Daddy. We're supposed to be at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul talked about the law being a tutor, a schoolmaster, King James called it, to bring one to Christ. What are you talking about, Tim? There's a particular time that Christ had not come into the world, but the Bible said in Genesis 3 and 15 that the seed of the woman would what? Bruise the head of the serpent. That had not come about. So in Galatians 4 and 4 says, for when the fullness of the time had come, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those of us that were under the law. What do you mean? It's time for maturity. Let's go back to this passage and see what it was for that family, and let's see if we can make perfect application, or at least some application for us today. Three, if you will, if you'll start reading from the 18th chapter and the first verse, because I just went over and talked a little bit about the 17th chapter. I don't want to read it today. We can go back and listen to that. Give me 18 and 1, please.
And the Lord spake to Moses, saying,
always, let's pay attention to these statements like this in our mind. Can we pay attention to these statements in our mind? Moses is writing and letting the people know this is what God is getting ready to say. The Lord, Yahweh, I'm going to turn to it in another version that I have here. I like the way that it comes right out and just says the name Yahweh, but that's not going to change anything that you're doing, Dree, but I just really like it. It really just comes right out and just says it kind of. Would you say, Ann? It kind of gives you a flavor, because sometimes when we just see the Lord, what ends up happening is that we get to the place where we think that God's name is the Lord. And I've told you all before that when you see the capital L-O-R-D, that means specifically Yahweh. So listen to what it says. Yahweh spake to Moshe, saying, give me verse 2.
Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God.
Now, when you read these passages like this, please understand, you may not do it every time, but this is so much wrapped up in this. I'm going to see if I can give it to you in about 35 to 40 seconds. When he says, I am Yahweh your God, that's what capital L-O-R means. RD means, I am Yahweh, your God. I am Him. I am the one that brought you up out of Egypt. If He doesn't say this every time, understand, He is saying that I'm your sovereign. I'm your king. I'm the one that's in charge over you. I am. Listen, this is me. I am Yahweh, your God. I'm not everybody else's God in a covenantal sense. Notice that I made that qualifier. I'm everybody's God. You'll see that in this passage. But I am Yahweh, your God. Know who I am. This is why I can say what I'm getting ready to say to you. Give me grasp it. Read some more, Dre.
You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt.
Understand. Because I told you who I am, and because, as the bottom here, because God demands it, I'm your God. You shall not do as they do in Egypt. When I was a boy, there would be things that people could do, and mama said, you're not going to do it because you're my son. You're not going to go here because you're my, but they do it. They're not your mama. This is what God is saying. You shall not do as they do in Egypt. Yes, you know Egypt do things, but I've proven myself to you, and this is a legal way of talking that kings would do to their vassals. Kings would do to conquered nations. God is saying, I'm Yahweh your God. You are a nation of servants to me. You are my adopted children. You have a lot of relationships with me, and I'm your God. You will not do as they do in Egypt where you live. What else?
Where you live, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes.
Now remember the illustration that I gave you of the Everglades and all of the alligators? I wasn't doing that just for fun. I'm bringing you to the Everglades. To keep with that illustration, I'm bringing you to the place, I've taken you from one place that was like the Everglades, now I'm bringing you to a place that's even more so. In a real sense, I'm bringing you here to live, I'm bringing you to the land of the Canaanites, but before you get there, understand, you shall not, I'm not asking you, if you don't want to, don't do it. This is a command. This is the family of Abraham. This is the family. You shall not do as they do. Read some more.
You shall therefore keep my statutes.
You will keep my statutes. That word statutes, that word is a regulation or a decree. When you look it up, that's what you're going to see that the word is. You can pronounce it like hukwa. Doesn't matter really too much how you pronounce it. We don't speak Hebrew, but you should understand, this is my decree. This is a legal decree from God, the judge of all the earth. Please read.
And my rules.
And when he says, you will keep my rules, don't just take that to be as, you know, it's just the rule. No, this word is mispah. This means this is my judgment. Listen to one of the definitions of this. It says, the act of deciding a legal dispute. So when you're dealing with one another, when you're dealing with anything that's going on, this is my decision concerning that. Now, when you're reading an ESV, it's going to say, my rules. If you're in King James, it's going to say my judgments. Go ahead.
If a person does them, he shall live by them.
If a person follows my decrees and my judgments, when he gets to the land of Canaan, he will live in them. He will live. There will be life in there. There will be abundance in there. There will be peace in there. There will be prosperity in there. On the way here, I was listening to Leviticus 18 on my iPod, going back and forth and back and forth. And then I listened to chapter 20 and 19, just saturating my mind with what's going on and what I was going to be teaching today. And my mind said something to me. And I told Ann, it felt so good. I mean, it may not be that much to you all. Do you all remember they said that the land, the promised land would be a land flowing with milk and honey? Every woman in here has had a baby. When you got pregnant and had your babies, did you find that your breast was heavily laden with milk? If the land is flowing with milk and honey, what has happened to the cattle? They are producing babies. We talk about being fruitful. The oxes, the sheep, the lambs, and whatever else animals you are, they are producing this one with milk and honey. Does anybody here know that without flowers, there's no honey? If the land is flowing with milk and honey, I'm not just talking about flowers. Do you all know that you don't get any fruit unless the blossoms from what is apples or pomegranates or whatever, unless they are pollinated with the bees. When he said the land is flowing with milk and honey, you got all of this stuff going on. God said, if you keep my statutes, you'll live in them. And we talk about the promise to them was abundance. It wasn't just living on the bottom. It's talking about living like God wants you to. Or would the family of God know that today we could live with abundance? They say, well, I want a lot of capital. I want a lot of money. Jesus says that I have come to give you life and that you will live it more abundantly. I believe it is in the 12th chapter of the book of Leviticus, or it's of the 19th. Jesus told a man that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of what he has. That's what he told us. The abundance is that we have God's will in our life, that we have God's blessing in our life, that we can live with the peace of God, peace between me and God, and me and my family members, me and those that love God. That's the peace of God. And you give up this whole world, and you gain your soul. Somebody say, Tim, did God want us to be broke? That's not what I said, but that's not the prerequisite. I'm not going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, but it'll talk about when an individual teaches gain is godliness. He's a novice, don't know what he's talking about. Take me back to Leviticus. Read the 4th verse and the 5th verse again, please.
You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them.
Now God is going to give us some more. Please read.
I am the Lord.
Notice again, I can say this. This is what they call an inclusio. I've given you who I am, said to Moses, tell him I'm this. This is what's going to be, and I'm put a seal on it. That's pretty powerful. We may not really recognize it, but it is. Read some more.
None of you shall approach any one of his close relatives to uncover nakedness. I am the Lord.
Wait a minute. I don't care for your argument's sake. Now, but fault with what I'm saying. This is what God is saying, what they did in Egypt or what they're doing in Canaan. I'm telling you, you shall not do it. I am the Lord. It's the same thing. You will not come home and not do your homework. I am your mama or I am your daddy. That's it, period. Doesn't matter if the other kids are out playing. When you come home, if you have homework, it is to be done. Or your chores are to be done before you go out and play. Now, you know that's outdated, right, Dream? Because children stay at home most of the time and play on the computer. Well, go ahead and read.
I am the Lord. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father, which is the nakedness of your mother. She is your mother, You shall not uncover her nakedness.
Do you remember the children of Israel? They had this in their past. When it says here, you shall not approach his close relative, as Gary talked about before, in the beginning, Adam's children would have married each other. They would have married each other. They would have been able to marry niece. They would have been able to marry close kin. They talk about the genetic code being different at that time. I'm just telling you, without going into that, we could talk about that later, is that they married each other. As a matter of fact, when you think about it now, we all are still kin to one another. I believe it is Acts 17 and 26 said that God made us all from one blood. Is that the verse, Gary? 17:26. Check it out. Make sure that I'm sure. Here's the point that I'm making. Close kin. You can't do it. It doesn't matter what they did in the days of Adam. It doesn't matter what Abraham did when he had his sister. I'm saying now is not going to be, I am the Lord. Case closed. Read the next part.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. It is your father's nakedness.
Reuben did it. Come on now, we went through the book of Genesis. Reuben did it, and even Jacob talked about it, because for the longest it seemed like Jacob did nothing about it. Oh, but when it came down to give an assessment, and to give blessings, and to prophesy on their future, he said, oh, you are stable as water. You went up on your father's couch, and you defiled it. You won't prosper, boy. You can read about it in Genesis 49, give me some more.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, your father's daughter, or your mother's daughter.
Notice how this is set up. It didn't say that it's the daughter of your mother and father. How much more is it saying that if it's just your father's daughter? Let's say that daddy had some daughters somewhere else in another city, and I saw one and I liked her. It said, it didn't matter if it's just your father's daughter and not your mother's daughter, or if it's your mother's daughter and not your father. You will not do it, period. Read it again, read verse 9.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your sister, your father's daughter, or your mother's daughter, whether brought up in the family or in another home.
Can I say that God is sitting down the gauntlet? God is saying, you're not going to do that. It doesn't matter what they did in the days of Adam. It doesn't matter what Abraham did, and I allowed it at that time. Remember, we're growing. God is bringing us to the place that we can have the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I taught you things little by little as I wanted to go. There is no need for that now. You're not going to be close, Kim. If somebody said, Tim, what do you mean by that? Because remember, they had different tribes. Each tribe was considered to be part of the family, but you could marry each tribe because there would not be that problem of close kin. You could also marry inside the tribe because there were enough of them that it would not be close kin. Read some more, Dree.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter.
I'm going to show you something about that. This is what I want you to understand. That in the family, these things that have been mentioned right now, did he say, don't do it because it's going to hurt you? Did he say, don't do it because the child could be a mongoloid? Did he say, don't do it because, well, this could cause you pain and infection and disease? No doubt, Abraham did not experience pain being with Sarah. No doubt, Reuben probably did not experience pain being his father's wife. Somebody said, but that don't go for us today. You didn't read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 then, did you? Where a man laid up with his father's wife, and Paul held him to the same Levitical standard. In his chapter 6, verse 3, Paul said that I'm ashamed of you because you didn't judge. What standard would they have judged by, Gary? The New Testament wasn't written then. How dare someone to say that when we read the Old Testament, as they call it, that it has no validity in the lives of us today. That's idolatry. Why do you say that, Tim? Why would you say it's idolatry? Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 17 through 19, think not that I'm come to destroy the law and the prophets. See, when you read law, you think every time you see law, that's just the Old Testament. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, which is the very thing people say that don't matter. I didn't come to destroy it, but fulfill it. They said, well, he fulfilled it on the cross. That's not Jewish thought. Do you know what Jewish thought was on this? Unfulfilling and unfulfilling the commandments and the law. Unfulfilling is to misinterpret what it means and therefore to abrogate or abolish it. Fulfill it meant to interpret it properly and correctly, therefore people would hold to it. That's why he can say, you have heard it has been said, but I say, you lust on her, you've done it. Now, I was going to read for you all out of the Holy Quran. I don't mean it's holy for me, that's just the name of it. Read that last verse that you read again. I'm going to show you something.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter.
Now, when I talk to you all and I tell you what's the big deal about Jesus, when I show you the God's holy standard and that idolatry is anything that goes away from that, listen to what Muhammad did when he wanted his son's wife. This is in the Quran. It's not holy because it's holy to me. That's just what they call it. In Surah 33, well, you could call it verse, Surah 33, 36 through 38. Listen to what it says. It is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when a matter has been decided by Allah and his apostle, to have any option about their decision. If anyone disobeys Allah and his apostle, he is indeed on a clearly wrong path. Behold, thou didst say to one who had received the grace of Allah and thy favor, retain thou in wedlock thy wife and fear Allah. But thou didst hide in thy heart which Allah was about to make manifest. Thou didst fear the people, but it is more fitting that you should fear Allah. Then Zaid, that's his son, when Zaid had dissolved his marriage with her, with the necessary formality, we joined her in marriage to thee, in order that in the future there may be no difficulty to believers in the matter of marriage with the wives of their adopted sons, when the latter has dissolved with necessary formality their marriage with them. And Allah's command must be fulfilled. That's all I want to read in that. I read on it. I just want you to understand that when people are saying that one religion is just like another and they don't look at the exclusiveness of God, look at what God's standard is and look at what we see in the Quran. He looked at this woman and he lusted after her, which would have broken a commandment. You don't lust after another man's wife. He took another man's wife, made him dissolve the relationship. And if you go and look at some of the history of that, he got a vision or whatever and said that he could do that. I'm just showing you that when we look at the scriptures, this is not something for play. This is serious business. Idolatry will always move someone away from God's standard, and that's a powerful alligator to destroy you. He took me back to where we were.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your son's daughter or of your daughter's daughter. For their nakedness is your own nakedness.
You're not going to be breeding within yourself. You're not going to be self-breeding. That's what we're dealing with. You're not. And the women in your home is protected from you. The molestation of fathers against their children is absolutely, unequivocally unbiblical. But in other cultures, it was allowed. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that today. Go ahead, Dree.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, brought up in your father's family, since she is your sister.
You see, if you had a compound, brought up in your family, you're not going to lie with her. It's your father's close kin. It's your father's close kin. You're not going to lie with her or your aunt. Please read.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is your father's relative. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is your mother's relative.
That means you're not going to lie with your aunt. When I say lie, you're not going to engage in sexual intercourse with these people because God has said so. He did not say that it's going to be unpleasurable. He didn't say that you're not going to like it. He said you're not going to do it like other nations do. I have made a prohibition. I am the Lord. He started it out with, I am the Lord. He said it about 3 times already. Why is that, Anne? Because I realize that you can look at somebody and you can realize that in your heart, other people do it. They don't look to be struck down. She's available. I have the urge. I want to release. Here she is. I can use her. God said, no, you will not. You will not do my women like that. You will not be using them as your sexual slaves like that. They will be protected from you. And when they are going to be with somebody, they will be with someone that's outside of your family they can marry and make that family propagate. You will not have self-autonomy to produce yourself that way. I will not allow for it. Please read.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. That is, you shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife.
Notice that which I read, even in the Quran. I could have read stuff like this, and I got ancient and Near Eastern documents and things like that. But I thought I would use one that you can probably go and pick up yourself without buying something new. You can go and on Google and type in Surah 33. Yeah, you can just type that in and read it yourself. Like, Tim didn't make that up. Please read, Dree.
You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness.
Do you understand? You would think that it would say that you're covering your sister-in-law nakedness. There's a respect that's due your brothers. And this keeps right in line with the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. This keeps right in line with thou shalt not covet your neighbor's ox, ass, his wife, or anything that is your neighbor's. Do you see that when you talk about we just keep the Ten Commandments and you think that's all it is? Let God explain what he's talking about in these Ten Commandments. Let God explain the very things that are encompassed in that. Because in dealing with that, God is showing in the same way that you respect your brother, that you respect your father, that you're respected. I want the same thing for me. I don't want you taking me or taking my name, I'm the Lord, I'm the one that saved you, and join it to another form of a God. Although it's not a God, but you worship it as a God, that's the same thing as adultery and defiling yourself. Please read.
You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter.
In other words, as some men, in their perversion, they say, I got the mama and the daughter, and they're proud of it. Because I can have both. God said, you will not do that. Doesn't matter if it gives you some kind of thrill to do that. Doesn't matter if it makes you feel more masculine when you do that. God said, it is no. Please read.
And you shall not take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness.
Now, there's a movie star that had a wife, and he went with the granddaughter, although it's supposed to be adopted. Went with the granddaughter. You can go check it up on the web. What I'm saying is, you will not uncover, I don't care if you marry somebody that already has a child, or if this is in your family, you don't go and get their son's daughter, or their daughter's daughter, and do that kind of wicked, ungodly, filthy, detestable act. Somebody said, why is it filthy and detestable? God said so. God is the one who determines what is filthy and what is detestable. When you take away the sovereign right of God to determine that, that's idolatry. That's an alligator getting ready to snap you, because now you feeling you're in the position to judge God. Please read, Dree.
They are relatives. It is depravity.
God said that is depravity. God said in King James, it is wickedness. Please read verse 18.
And you shall not take a woman as a rival wife to her sister, uncovering her nakedness while her sister is still alive.
Do you understand how relevant that would be to them? It would be very relative. This is why we're called Israelites. Because Jacob wanted Rachel, but he got Leah. So when he got Leah, if this was the standard that was at that time, he could not take Rachel. If this was the standard at this time, he couldn't take Rachel. But at that time, they were allowed. But did you see how much hell it caused? Ask Joseph how it made him feel. Ask Joseph, ask Benjamin how it made him feel. Ask the father how it made him feel when he realized after all those years, I know they hated that boy, and my son has been a slave all these years that I didn't get to see him. The last time I saw him, I did have a crippled leg, but I wasn't old and bent all the way over. So, it had been allowed before that you could have two sisters. God is saying, not anymore. I'm doing that. I'm protecting the women. She should not have to have her own sister for a rival. That you go to her and see her nakedness and engage in intercourse, and then you go do the other one. I don't want this in the family. Are you seeing how God is trying to promote peace in the family? Would to God we would transpose that to the day and see that as the people of God, we should have peace and not cause each other pain and heartache? Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
You shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness while she is in her menstrual uncleanness.
Now, I'm going right back to what I told you in chapter 12. She's unclean, ceremonially unclean. You will be ceremonially clean. I don't care what other nations do. This is my rule. I am the Lord. Please read.
And you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife. And so, make yourself unclean with her.
We're back again. You should not commit adultery. David did this, saints. The one that I always want to throw up in your face, when David sinned and God forgave him. I'm just letting you know this is God's standard. Do you know how deadly that was for David to do that? Do you know that David was cursed when he did that? The Bible said a man that lies with another man's wife is cursed. A man that kills another man is cursed. Murders a man. Even if no one sees it, he's cursed. David was walking around cursed until God granted him repentance. Please read.
You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech.
Did you see the transition here? We went from the alligator, as I called it, of the things that can defile you, the things that can cause God to turn against you sexually. Now we're going to idolatry. What do you mean by idolatry? We're going to the things that will show that you have lost your fidelity to God and that you're engaging in what is considered to him a sexual or a union with another God. When I say sexual or another union, let me clarify and qualify my statements. God is to be joined to us as family. God is to be joined with us, and he wants loyalty. When you go and take your loyalty or your allegiance and join it to someone else, as if you're in covenant marriage with them, he is a king, and he doesn't allow it. So he went from loyalty to him in your home with your sexuality, irrespective of how you like it, to now he's going to Molech, the other form of the alligator. It doesn't matter if you see people following Molech and they seem to have stuff and seem to be blessed. Please read.
And so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
Read 21 again so we can get the thrust of what he's saying.
You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech. And so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.
Again, do you see it? You will not do it. Reason? I am the Lord. That ought to make fear come in your heart. When you see when they think about all that he has done, can do. And when he says, you won't do it, I'm the Lord, that should have settled it. But you know what we do in this day? We'll say, well, he didn't really mean it like that. Or you know, what my pastor said, or our catechism said so and so. Or that was in the old days. We better learn to fear these words. I am the Lord. And I mean, give it proper reverence. And if you're going to break that reverence that you should have, then you should be afraid. Please read.
You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination.
God said that a man will not have intercourse with another man as he would a woman. This is abomination. I don't care what they did in Egypt. I have a book that talks about the construction of homosexuality where this man talked about what he did with Pharaoh. Am I telling the truth? And where he copulated with Pharaoh. I have other documents that show in the ancient world that this was very, 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 very prevalent. God said you will not do it. Now, somebody said, well, wait a minute, you dealt with the things that dealt with sexual sins first, now you went to what is idolatry, now you went to and now you're talking about sexual stuff again. I want you to understand in the ancient world there were two types of male intercourse lying with each other. There was one when it was done for pleasure, or when somebody was ruling over somebody, but there's another one that was in the cult prostitutes where the men would do it to serve their gods. And so you've covered both sides. I'm not allowing it because I don't allow idolatry. I'm not allowing it because I'm controlling your sexuality, irrespective of the pleasure principle. Somebody told me one time a homosexual active participant, or even inactive at the time, told me that if God didn't want us to do it, he wouldn't let it feel so good. That's a damnable lie. There are a lot of things that feel good that can hurt you. Ask people that have taken so much drugs that their mind don't have the memory that they once had. Ask people that went outside and did things and now they either have syphilis or what. It was pleasurable many times. Ask people that have gotten revenge on somebody for something that they said how good it felt until they got locked up. Please read, Dree.
And you shall not lie with any animal, and so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is perversion.
Understand that God said you will not do this like they did in Egypt or in Canaan where you're going. God is saying this is what they do. These are the sons of Ham. These are the descendants of Ham. I'm not saying no other ones did in the world, sons of Japheth or whatever, but I'm telling you that the land where you're going is the land that the Canaanites had, the sons of Ham. You're not going into the land that's called Europe. You're not going over toward Asia, so we are dealing with right now the land where you're going, and I'm telling you, you will not lie with animals. There is much documentation in the ancient world where they did that, and they still do it now. Now, I know plenty of places where people would have the ability to see this kind of perversion. But I won't tell it because I don't want to tempt somebody to go, look, God has said it should not be done. Whether it's in worship, whether it's for your pleasure, it's unlawful. The family must be holy. The family must be righteous. And what God is doing is moving idolatry and pleasurable sex. I submit to you that if you pay close attention, even in what is called the Christian church, you'll find that there's much sexual activity that's unlawful being practiced. Whether it's passing with little boys, whether it's pastors with the single women, whether it's pastors with women that are married, whether it's the priest with the little boys, whether it's the nuns with each other, whether it's people that just go to church and we lay up, whether it's pastors that decide, you know what, I just rather leave my wife like they did in the church of the now and just let you all know that I'm a homosexual, and the church clap their hands. This stuff is very relevant. And God is saying it will not be for them. I am the Lord. Now, I'm not doing chapter 20 now. But when we get to chapter 20, God is going to show his penal. When I say penal, since we're talking about sex, I'm going to spell it. P-E-N-A-L. Penalties for this type of activity. Please read.
Do not make yourselves unclean by any of these things.
Now remember, we've gone through the first five chapters of the book of Leviticus and we talked about how these things, these sins being defiled, defile the altar, defile the holy place, and defile the hellasterion or the mercy seat. Now we remember, all of these things, we're coming to this after we've talked about the Day of Atonement. Look at all of the things that a person may have done and didn't tell, and it was undercover, that had to be cleansed on the Day of Atonement. Can you see why they would have to fast? Could you see why they had to fast? Could you see why they had to afflict their souls and mourn? What do we do as a church now? as the family of God when a pastor can have an insurance company to pay off 4 or 5 young men so that the truth can't be known? I will show you before we get through the book of Leviticus that the standard should be that when a leader does wrong, that leader has to get it right. That leader has to pay for his sins. I will show you that the leader is totally unqualified to be in that position. And I will also show you those that don't condemn it, they condone it, and God will judge them accordingly. You want to cheat and get ahead and look at it? Read chapter 20. Read on, Ann.
But do not make yourselves unclean by any of these things, for by all these the nations I am driving out before you have become unclean.
Now, there's something in this that you might miss. Remember I said earlier when he says, I am the Lord your God? And I made the statement that God is God, but he's not just God of the children of Israel, but he's God of the whole world. I said covenantally he is the Lord their God, but he's also their God. Listen to what he's saying. Read it again and let's see if we catch him.
Do not make yourselves unclean by any of these things. For by all these, the nations I am driving out before you have become unclean.
And read that in King James, please.
Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you.
Do you notice that because of these things, I'm judging these other nations? Wait a minute. People have the tendency to say they don't want to be under God's laws, and that other people are under God's laws. I will tell you that's a damnable lie. How is it that when we look at the book of the Revelation and God's going to judge all the kingdoms of the earth, all the nations of the earth, all the kings and princes of the earth, how is it that God can judge them all unless he's God of them all? Gary, you taught Psalms 2 one day. Why do the heathen rage? And why do the kings? They just run their mouth against the Lord and his anointed. But didn't it say in that passage that one day God's going to rule with a rod of iron? All nations are subject unto God. And God is telling these people, the family here, listen. This is why I'm casting them out of the land. This is why I'm driving them out of the land. I'm driving them out because they're unclean. There is a standard that was known that is unclean, lying with beasts, serving idol gods. It doesn't matter if the parents have stopped teaching the children and the children did not fully understand or remember my words. There are certain things that came down from Noah. There are certain things that you all had at the Tower of Babel, and you have defiled me and you have defiled my judgment. And we really don't know if God had sent prophets to them or not. We don't know. Most people haven't read the 66 books we do have, let alone if God would tell you he's dealing with all of the nations. But we do know that there was a Gentile king and a priest called Melchizedek that knew God. Just don't pretend like we know everything about God, because we don't. God is judging them. He said they didn't do it, and that's why I'm driving them out. What does verse 25 say?
And the land became unclean, so that I punished its iniquity, and the land vomited out its inhabitants.
Do you see the judgment? The land is defiled. The land is unclean. And the Bible says it is punished because of that. What would that mean? That means that God has executed a judgment that is righteous, that is just, because of these people's lawlessness and iniquity. Wait a minute. How is it that a person can be wicked in iniquity unless they have some idea of what God's standard is? I will also submit to you that should you remove God's knowledge from your mindset, you're still just as guilty before a holy God. He's saying here, the land is violated, and the land will cast out its inhabitants. Malachi 3:6 says God doesn't change. It has there been any type of lawless activity in here that we don't see in America? Do you think there's no bestiality in America? Are you that naive? Do you think there's no homosexual practices in America? Are you that naive? Do you think that there are no men that will lie with their daughters or their daughter-in-laws or their aunts? Do you think do you understand that the land is God's servant? And land can be defiled. Not because we pour oil on it. Not because you use a pesticide. I'm talking about the action of mankind on it also devour the land. And at a certain point, it vomits it out. Well, let's move away from the land. Let's be a little more clear. Can you think of any of these activities that you can really say that churches don't participate in? Well, maybe you could say maybe not bestiality. Let's exclude that. Do you think that the land still would have spewed the people out? Because the bestiality a lot of times had to do with idolatry. Have we not made Jesus in our own image and God and formed him in our likeness? Do you understand that people today say, God of the Old Testament was harsh? Well, what happened when the earth got filled with violence and wickedness from man's imagination? The earth spewed them out and God brought a flood, right? I will submit to you, as a matter of fact, I'll just tell you what happened. I think it was one day this week, one man was telling me, you know, that God in the Old Testament, he was real mean. He, you know, he just did things kind of harsh, put people to death for adultery and put them to death for homosexuality. And I said, how is it that you feel comfortable saying that at any time God was harsh or that at any time God's judgment was wrong? And it was excessive. How dare you to be able to just with your mouth say that God's standard at one time was unholy, now was holy. That it was unrighteous at one time, now it's righteous. Do you understand what you're fully saying? You're fully saying that God does change and that God at one time was unrighteous. Oh, the mouth of the wicked and the ungodly when you don't understand who God is. I am the Lord, he says. Quit questioning me to find fault. Question me to find out what kind of strength I'll give you to be able to fulfill my will. Please read the rest.
But you shall keep my statutes and my rules and do none of these abominations. Either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you.
Do you notice that I'm saying you will do it? You ain't covenant with me, but if you come in my land, if they come in my land, they are held accountable to the same standard. In other words, you will avoid all of these alligators in the Everglades. In other words, for those that will hear me and not know what I'm talking about, you will avoid those very things that will cause you to be destroyed. Idolatry will cause you to be destroyed. It's waiting to snap you up and destroy you. Just like pleasurable, unlawful sex will destroy you because you are representing my temple. Somebody said, but that's New Testament. I said, no, not just new. When the high priest said he violated all the way to the holy place and he had to put the blood 7 times on the horns of the altar of incense right before the veil. When all the nation did the same thing. Why is that? The altar of incense didn't sin. Because it represented that holy place, the nation. Please read, Drew.
For the people of the land who were before you did all of these abominations, so that the land became unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Let the land vomit you out when you make it unclean, as it vomited out the nation that was before you.
You know, I was talking to a man yesterday. As a matter of fact, I've called his name so he can, if he listens on the podcast, he can smile. I was talking to Rich Lee yesterday, and he was telling me the discussion that they were having at on a Wednesday night, and people wanted to know, how is it God could use a wicked nation to judge Israel? How is it God? That's what they were discussing, and they were giving different thoughts about it. And I said, wait a minute. Why is it that they would discuss why God would allow a wicked nation to judge Israel? I said, if Israel was being judged, you realize Israel was wicked too? God did not allow Israel to be judged until it did wickedly, and it was worse. Somebody say, Tim, how can you say it's worse? All sin is sin. Gary, read Romans 3:1 for me. I'm saying that God would allow Israel to be judged, and you can read, I forgot, I just happen to be looking at whoever get it first. When you look and you see that Israel is being judged, they have committed the same thing. And God allowed Israel to judge them. When they were wicked, God allowed Israel to judge them and cast them out of the land. That's how the earth vomited them out of the land. God sent Israel to do it. When God vomited the people out of the land before the flood, he let the flood wash them away. When Israel did well, God vomited them out of the land. And now, get to read that 3:1 in Romans.
What advantage then hath a Jew?
What advantage has a Jew?
Or what profit is there of circumcision?
What profit is there in being in covenant with God? That's cold talk. Please read.
Much every way.
Wait a minute, Paul says much in every way.
Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid.
Did you see that? I said to him that Israel was more wicked. Whenever they did it, how much more should they be vomited out of the land and judged by another nation? Because of the fact you had the oracles, you had God standing, and you had the circumcision, and you thought you would escape the judgment of God? God forbid. And if you will, give for me John chapter 10, verse 27. It's a beautiful thing. Dree, I want you to go back and read verse 29 of Leviticus 18.
For everyone who does any of these abominations, the persons who do them shall be cut off from among their people.
And God said, if you do these things, if you practice the idolatry, if you practice this sex, I don't care how much you like it, it means something to me. It's a defilement. I don't like it. I don't want it. If you do this, it spewed them out of the land. I didn't take it. I didn't like it from them. I definitely would not have it from you in covenant. Anyone, everyone that does these abominations, these persons should do this, shall be cut off from among their people. Now, if God did that for them, Dream, why is it that we, in so-called the family of God, the church of the living God today, we tolerate it? We act like God's not going to have a judgment. As a matter of fact, we get so audacious that we say, if we do it, it doesn't matter. We say it doesn't matter because we have confessed the Lord Jesus, and nothing will ever happen to spew us out of the land and separate us from the family. But what does it say in John and chapter 10, verse 27?
My sheep hear my voice.
Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Who is Jesus? The Lord. I am the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Please read.
And I know them.
And I know them. I'm intimate with them. We're in covenant relation. Help me, Ann.
And they follow me.
And they do what I say. They follow me. They follow my commandments. They follow my judgment that if a man do them, he'll live in them. Please read.
And I give them eternal life.
And I give them the land of promise. What do you mean the land of promise? Eternal life where they rule and reign with me. I give it. I continually give them. I don't just give it one time. I continually give it to them because I'm the possessor of it. Do you follow that, Dree? Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, in him is life and the life is the light of man. I continually give it to them. Go ahead.
And they shall never perish.
And they shall never perish. Do you understand that all God's commandments are conditional? I know people say that they're unconditional, but God has told Aaron that he would have a priesthood forever. They sinned. It messed up. What happened? God told Israel they would abide in the land forever. And then what happened? After they sinned with Manasseh, wicked Manasseh, after Josiah came, you had Jehoiakim, then you had Jehoiakim, then you had Zedekiah, and God sent them right out of the land after he said they would abide there forever. It was conditional, although people may not understand it. But read on, and let's see if God helps us with it.
Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Now, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Do you understand what that means? No one has the ability to take them from me. No one had the ability to take Israel out of the promised land. Dree, they didn't have it. One of them would have been able to chase 10, I believe it is, 100, 100, and two with 5 would be able to chase about, I think, 100. Because whenever they sin, God would let one chase 100 and two chase 10,000. The numbers actually got more when they sin. Here is the point. Because it's always important to know the point. Nobody has the ability, when you're following me and not going into idolatry, and you keep your sexual activity in my perspective. Can you follow me because I demand it? So he said, my sheep hear me, they follow me. I give to them eternal life. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Please read it. Give the next verse.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all.
Now, when he makes the statement, my Father is greater than all, he's going to put some emphasis on this for those people to understand that who my Father is, who he's claiming his Father to be. And the very same instance I've been putting on Leviticus 18, he's alluding to that. I'll show you. Finish reading that and then read verse 30.
And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse
30.
I and my Father are one.
Wow. He is showing the importance of that. He is showing the power of that. And when he says no one is able to pluck, listen to the word here. It's harpazo. Listen.
Harpazo.
Harpazo. That means to carry off or to steal. How did the children of Israel get taken out of the land? Did somebody come and take them? Or did the Bible say the land would vomit them out? One version says vomit. Another one says to pluck them out. And another said to spew. It's the sin and the defilement that did it for them. I will submit to you that as long as a person is a sheep following God, no one can take them away. But when you defile yourself with the abominations, just like he told the children of Israel that God would spew them out of the land, I would submit to you that the very same thing will happen to us. Somebody say, Tim, that's not so. But I've already read before Matthew chapter 15 where Jesus showed the very thing that an individual do that would defile are the same sexual activities and idolatry that we're talking about in Leviticus 18. But I've also showed you in Revelation, I believe it was chapter 22, that nothing defiles will be there. He's quite consistent. An alligator can kill you. An alligator can take your life. But the very thing that you see, the very thing that you see that's defilement, that you may take to be lightly, those things do worse than any alligator ever could. And what do I mean by that? They can keep an individual outside the kingdom of God forever. It causes an individual to be out of covenant with God. It causes an individual to not have eternal life. And the very thing that I've just talked about today, is the very thing that many times we're still practicing and we call ourselves the church of the living God. We should not be found with that kind of defilement in our lives. We should stay away from those things because God is definitely so far removed from that insofar as that being a part of the covenant blessing that we've made an idol if we feel that we can do it. And we take this scripture to say no one can pluck us out of God's hand. No one has the ability. God does it himself. Reread that last verse in Leviticus so we can be through with that passage, please.
So keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs that were practiced before you, and never to make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God.
Again, he went right back again to the very same thing that he said. I am the Lord your God. That's why I can tell you don't do these things. These things defile you. What did Jesus say to defile a person in Matthew 15? He said explicitly the things that defile a person are adulteries, fornication, blasphemies. You move on down, you get to your idolatries. And these are the things that defile a man. What did the Bible say in the 13th chapter of Hebrews in the 4th verse? It says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If the family wants to be right with God, then the family will stay away from idolatry. What we call blatant idolatry, many times we don't follow. But that which changes God's standards and say that defilement is not defilement. That changes God's standards and say that God has no right to determine our sexuality. That which defiles a man that way will make the land spew us out. In other words, God will thrust us out of his kingdom. I understand that people say that it can't happen, but if they want to discuss it, we can go through the scriptures and show explicitly that an individual that does those things, how God will deal with them. I'll just read one last scripture on this, and I believe that that ought to be enough. Unless Dree gets it for me, First Revelation 21:8. And the Bible speaks specifically of what will not have eternal life. Listen to what the Word of God says. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. King James, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, for many people, they'll feel that, well, if it's a Christian that is coward, that's unbelieving, or if it's a Christian murderer, it's okay. If it's a Christian whoremonger or sexually immoral, if it's a Christian liar, it's okay. But God did not make that statement. You see, the Bible told us to be free from sin. We talked about last week. And become servants to God. We should have our fruit of the holiness. And the end, what? Everlasting life. So this is what we're getting when we get in Leviticus. How God wants the family to be dealt with then. We make the transposition of what God wants for us today. And apply it to our life. Control our sexuality. Control the tendency to want to change and alter God's standard. Whether we think God, people will like us or not. If we do it God's way, we will be blessed. That's what God wants. That's what God demands. That's the judgment that we should make when we deal and we say people are brothers and sisters in the Lord. The judgment we should make is that God's word is right. He is the Lord. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Let's walk in that. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters, those that have turned away from the Lord, to return to God and His standards, so that we can be fruitful and productive for the Lord. That's all we're going to talk about today, because we have much more Leviticus to deal with. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Help us to keep your word and your standard the way that it is without us altering it. It's hard enough for us, easy enough for us to alter things because of what we feel. But to sit down and to say that this is not what you require, or to say that you require something that you don't require, or to allow something that you have not allowed, please let us evermore not find ourselves practicing that type of idolatry. Give us power in the mindset, Lord, that we realize we don't want to defile ourselves with any of the type of abominations that they did sexually. And often, Lord, if we don't do it, we can look at it. There's homosexual porn. There's bestial porn. There's heterosexual porn. And your son, Jesus the Christ, said if we look at it and we look at it to lust after we've done it, Lord, chasten us where we need it so that we don't everlastingly be lost. And call your church to repentance. Call us as individuals to repentance before it's everlasting and found too late. Because there has to be a spewing and a vomiting that will take place in America, in the America so-called church. Because we've neglected your standards of holiness and purity. Forgive us where we're wrong if we repent. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.